Today, we light the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy. This candle reminds us of the joy that Jesus brings into our lives and into the world. It is a joy that transcends our circumstances and fills our heart with hope and peace. The birth of Jesus is a cause for great joy because through Him, God's love and salvation are revealed to all people. The prophet Isaiah spoke of this joy, saying in Isaiah 9:3, "You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil." Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. His coming brings abundant joy that refreshes and strengthens us. As we light the candle, we remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Even in times of difficulty, we can rejoice because God is with us and His promises are true.
Well, it's the third week of Advent. We've been in a series for the last 2 weeks, and here's kind of an overview of where we're going to go today. So this Advent season, we experience the gift of joy, and we're reminded that true joy isn't about ignoring our struggles or living in a no worries kind of mindset. It's a deep, abiding joy that comes from Jesus. And Jesus entered the world to bring us good news of great joy to all people. Now, this joy is resilient and enduring, and even in the midst of life's challenges. Today we're going to explore how we can anticipate and recognize and choose joy. We can do that by living in gratitude and obedience and a close relationship with Jesus, allowing His joy to fill our hearts this Christmas season. But before we jump into the gift of joy, we've been talking about the gifts of Christmas for the past couple weeks. And we've also been talking about some famous Christmas gifts through the last several decades. And I remember last Christmas, I was watching my kids open presents and thinking about when I was a kid and how much better and cooler the toys are now that these kids get to open for Christmas. And I was thinking and looking back at some of the Christmas presents that would have been popular when I was a kid, and these gift comparisons really aren't even close. My kids have had options like a hoverboard that will conveniently turn into a go-kart. Anything like that? Hoverboard was it now, granted, this isn't like a, they kind of duped us, right? If you're a Back to the Future fan, like, you know this is not an actual hoverboard. Like, you want the real thing. Still waiting on that, right? But we didn't even get an attempt, right? I mean, there was nothing like this when I was a kid. And you put a stick on it, and now you've got a go-kart. It's awesome. And then, you know, I had options kind of like Pogs. Remember Pogs? I don't know what they did or why. They're just little discs, little paper things that you stacked up and kind of traded them like trading cards. Not as cool as a hoverboard. It's not fair. Maybe you've bought the Paw Patrol Mission Cruiser for your kid or your grandkids this Christmas, but maybe back in 1975 you got one of these pet rocks. Anybody get the pet rock for Christmas? Whew. I think last week we talked about the Rubik's Cube in 1974. This was 1975, so it did get worse. It did. It didn't get better. It always gets worse before it gets better, right? Oh. Or maybe while your kid would be excited to get a gift card for their Nintendo Switch because, you know, their Nintendo can be taken anywhere and played anywhere, and you can just download the games right onto it. You might have been thrilled to find this cordless and mobile toy in your stocking, the Slinky, right? No Wi-Fi needed. You just play with it. I guess the point is today, whether you grew up getting awesome presents like the Slinky or you had to just settle for a hoverboard, the true gifts of Christmas are far better than anything that we can open up from under a Christmas tree on Christmas morning. Today we're going to hone in on a specific gift of Christmas, and that is joy, if you haven't guessed. Now, the kids did a really good job of presenting joy to us already this morning. Wasn't that fun? Yeah. I said, it's either going to be really good or really funny or maybe both. And I think it was both. It was good. But we spent the first part of the service hearing about joy, and we'll spend the next part of the service talking and hearing about joy as well. And so today, as we talk about joy, I want us to start by thinking of the wonderful Christmas hymn, Hakuna Matata. You know the one, it goes, Hakuna Matata, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. All right, I know that's not the real words. It's joy to the world and not Hakuna Matata. But this Swahili phrase was made famous by The Lion King, the movie. And sometimes it seems to be the way that we approach joy, especially this time of year. The phrase means no worries. And in the movie, this song was sung by a meerkat named Timon and a warthog named Pumbaa. And they're trying to convince this young lion named Simba to forget about all of his troubles and just live for the moment. Do you remember this? Okay. It's their problem-free philosophy, right? And that is an appealing philosophy, I'm not going to lie. But no worries is not what the angels proclaimed that first Christmas. Instead, they proclaimed good news and great joy for all people. So the hymn actually says, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Now that's a gospel and a philosophy for life. And so as we get closer and closer to Christmas, we often hear about joy and what a joyful season it is. And sometimes we feel the need to cram all the other feelings down, right? The ones that aren't joy, we'll just get rid of those. We'll suppress those or toss them to the side for a moment. We ignore our troubles and our deepest struggles and just live for the moment. But that's not really what the joy of Christmas is all about. It's not about ignoring reality. While that would be nice, right? It's short-lived. It's shallow. Hakuna Matata may have made for a really nice song in a kid's movie, but it's hardly an enduring strategy for life. And so the gift of joy is offered to us in a person, and that person is Jesus. And that's what this Advent, this arrival season is all about. And it's a deep and abiding joy, and it's so powerful that it can hold its own in a dark and hurting world. It's in the midst of all of our troubles and all of our struggles, this joy can overcome. And so we'll talk a little bit later about how we can experience this joy in the Advent season. But for now, I just encourage you to be honest with yourself today. You don't have to cast all your struggles aside or pretend that everything's okay to experience this gift of joy. And Peter addresses this kind of joy in times of struggle in 1 Peter 1:8. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Right? We might not see God in the moment, but that doesn't mean that we can't experience joy. So before we jump into the main meat of this message today, if you've been with us the past couple weeks, you know that we've began a journey through the season of Advent, and we've done that by experiencing the gifts of hope and peace. And this word Advent means arrival. This season is marked by expectation and waiting and anticipation and longing. And Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links the past and the present and the future. And Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth, and then to be alert for when he returns. So during Advent, we light the candles on the wreath, and this represents aspects of Jesus' coming to a dark and lost world. As we celebrate with our own Advent wreath this season, we light an additional candle each week, and each candle brings us closer to the arrival of the true light of the world, which is Jesus. Now in the first week, we lit the Advent candle of hope, and we talked about hope past, present, and future. And we looked at a few prophecies about Jesus' arrival, and we were challenged to place our hope in him amidst the trials of life. And we were reminded of the hope still to be fulfilled when Jesus returns. And then last week, we lit the candle of peace. We talked about the way that peace manifests itself in our lives in a few different ways. Peace with God, peace within, and peace to come. And then today, Wendell walked us through the lighting of the candle of joy. Advent is a season to experience the joy of the coming Savior of the world, but it's more than just a feeling. It's It's a joy that causes all creation to celebrate, and it's deep and it's powerful, and it's the kind of rejoicing that we talk about in Psalms, that we see talked about in Psalms, such as Psalm 96, verses 11 through 13. It says, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them, let all the trees in the forest sing for joy, let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes." In Advent, we're preparing and expecting that Jesus is going to arrive. We should rejoice. This is a gift worthy of celebrating. So, while this is a season of joy, the question that nags many of us so often is, what if you don't feel joy this season? How can you receive this gift of joy even in the midst of suffering and loneliness and pain and grief and busyness and stress and even boredom? Today we're going to focus on how we can receive the gift of joy this Christmas. And so we're going to look at three ways we can do that this morning. And the first one is to anticipate joy. To anticipate joy. Have you ever been waiting for something for so long that you just gave up hope that it would even arrive? Has that ever happened? Yeah, I think so. We could probably all relate to that. Maybe it was a Christmas gift you ordered on Amazon that got lost in the mail and just never showed up. Or maybe you waited so long you just forgot about it. Or maybe you bought the perfect gift for someone and just couldn't wait to give it to them. Our youngest son, Ty, if you know him, you experienced him a little this morning. If you don't know, you don't need to. It's fine. It's not my kid. Our youngest son, Ty, he had the chance to visit the Santa's workshop this week at school, and he's done this the last 2 years, and he's caved almost immediately and either told us what he'd gotten us or just given them to us, opened them for us and put them right in our lap. It's been about 3 days since he's brought these gifts home, and the anticipating of that joy is killing him. He asks almost every hour if he can just give us our gifts. He cannot wait. He is anticipating that joy. Now, I'm sure you've probably heard stories of postal service mistakes and letters being delivered years after they were sent. And there's some great stories about this. One time, a woman in her 80s in France received a letter in the mail that had been sent to her great-grandfather in 1877. So she got it 138 years later. It was a pretty run-of-the-mill letter. It was an order. It was for an order of yarn from her great-grandfather's spinning mill. It was nothing too exciting, but really cool nonetheless. But an even more important delivery was written about in the Washington Post in 2015, and it reached its intended recipient 14 years later. Now, the letter was written from a father in India to his son who lived in New York City. It was handwritten a few short weeks after the attacks of 9/11. But it was a bit confusing when it showed up in 2014 because the man's father had passed years earlier. And so he described in this newspaper essay that the man was flooded with a deep reminder and a sense of connection to his late father. Tears flooded his eyes as he held a physical object created by his father. He was expressing concerns and fear for his sons and his grandchildren's safety in the midst of the events that were happening in the world during that tragic time. In the article, the son wrote, 14 years is a long time to wait for a letter, but rarely has one been more welcome. While the passing of his father was still a very hard reality, the physical letter itself was a real joy. Now, certainly, it's an unexpected joy. It's one that was on its way the whole time. The letter would have been meaningful had it arrived on time, right? But it took an even deeper meaning having to wait for it. And joy can be that way, whether we know it's coming or not, whether we've given up hope of its arrival or not. When we started this Advent series talking about hope, we looked at the history of the people of Israel who were waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for hundreds of years, a very long wait. Now, certainly some of those Israelites gave up hope that the Messiah would ever come, and some probably just carried on, distracted with life, not thinking they would ever see this Messiah. But others held out hope. Their waiting was active. And it was something that we can engage in too, is this active waiting. actually aware and anticipating of what's to come. The waiting has purpose, right? When we're waiting on something, it has purpose. It's not just killing time. So hope stays alive, and joy is similar to that hope. Even if we don't feel joy right now, we can anticipate the arrival of joy to the world in the gift of Jesus. We can prepare to move from our state of discouragement or hopelessness into an experience of life-giving joy. Now, the shepherds in this Christmas story are a good example of this. When the angel showed up and delivered this message to the shepherds on this hillside outside of Bethlehem, the shepherds didn't immediately feel joy. In fact, Scripture says they felt very scared, right? And you would too if something just appeared in the sky and started talking to you. I don't think joy would be, no matter how tough you are, I don't think joy is your first reaction to that. But Luke tells us, and it's on your screen in Luke 2, verses 10 through 11, says that the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The angel first addressed their fear. Then he helped them move beyond it to receive the message of joy that the Savior, the Messiah, the one Israel had been waiting for and anticipating for so long, had been born. And by the end of the night, those shepherds got it. In verse 20 of the same chapter, Luke says, "They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." So as we walk through Advent, the cool thing is that we already know what has happened, that Jesus has arrived. We already live on the other side of that. We know that Jesus has come. Now, this is something that we can celebrate and receive joy over, but we know that there is more with his eventual return. But let's experience and recognize Advent as a season where we can anticipate the arrival of joy, even when we struggle with the realities of today. Joy is coming. Number two, we need to recognize joy. You ever wonder why, out of all the people in the world, the wise men were the only ones to recognize and follow the star? You ever think about that? Of all the people, the wise men were the ones that caught it. It was a star, it was there in the sky for the whole world to see, but most people, Jews and Gentiles alike, didn't recognize its meaning. For these men who recognized it, it caused great joy. On your screen, Matthew 2, 10 through 11 says, "When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." So the Magi, these wise men, three kings, whatever they were, they traveled a long way to find Jesus, whose birth was announced by this star. And I'm sure they encountered hardships along the way. They had to deal with the deceptive tyrant King Herod. Remember that story? He sends them to look for this new king because he's threatened by Jesus. They may have even lost sight of the star for some time. You know, their clouds existed then too. They probably had some struggles, but they knew what they were looking for, and they kept seeking it even when things went wrong. So they recognized the arrival of joy in the world, and they were filled with joy as they responded to it. It can be hard to recognize joy in our lives sometimes, especially because joy doesn't always look the way that we expect it to. We expect joy to be free from worry and hardship, but the Bible tells us that joy is actually found in the midst of and even because of hard things. James 1, 2 through 3 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." There's nothing Hakuna Matata about that, right? When I consider it pure joy to go through hardship, that's a different brand of joy, I think, than we're sold most of the time around Christmas. But how much richer and deeper is the experience of joy when it glows bright, when it's lighting up our path in the midst of darkness, when we recognize that joy comes from trials because they produce perseverance that make us into the people that God wants us to be, then we can experience and choose joy even in the midst of hard times. Isn't that freeing? Everything doesn't have to be perfect to experience joy. Feels that way sometimes, right? I can't be happy because I've got this, this, and this going on. There's no joy to be had because this, this, and this is happening in my life. In fact, James makes it sound even more joyful when everything isn't perfect. Sometimes it feels like we have to have all of our ducks in a row and everything has to work out the way that we planned for us to have joy, but it's not the case. The arrival of Jesus is not the elimination of struggle. It's the promise of joy in the midst of the struggle. So part of receiving joy this season is recognizing the joy of Jesus in the midst of any situation or any struggle that we're in, whether it's good or bad, whatever situation. My hope is that we would all recognize joy this season. Now, the third way that we can receive joy during Advent is to choose it. Now, the idea that we can choose joy is a little bit deceiving. It's not that simple, right? We can't just close our eyes and focus really hard and somehow conjure up joy. In fact, that often leads us away from joy. That produces anxiety and depression, I think. We can't just manifest this because we think really hard about it. Joy, in fact, is a gift. And joy is also a fruit of the Spirit. So we can't just create it by trying harder, but we can choose to live in ways that God brings us joy. So the concept is similar to physical health, right? We can't get any stronger by choosing to think about being stronger. Wouldn't that be awesome if we could? We can't. It doesn't work that way. We have to exercise and build muscles that make us stronger. We can't just concentrate really hard and choose joy. We can choose things like giving thanks. We can choose to obey. We can choose to abide. And when we do these things, we open up ourselves to the gift of joy. So to expand on the things that we can choose to do this season, instead of just throwing our heads back and saying Hakuna Matata or ignoring our problems altogether, we have the ability to choose. So first, we can choose gratitude. Try it. When you're not feeling much joy, try giving thanks. You can even try it out loud. Name three reasons you have to be thankful or grateful, and then name five, and then 10, or you can write them all down. I think you'd be surprised how quickly the list gets long. Even though it's counterintuitive, a lot of times when we don't feel joyful, we would rather gripe and complain about it. But giving thanks opens our hearts to joy, right? Are you guys, I'm that way. If something's going wrong, I'm very quick to gripe about it. And you know what? It's never done. It's never gave me more joy. Anybody else? I think it works. That's why Paul instructed the Thessalonians, which we read last week, but I'll say it again here. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Gratitude goes a long way, and it leads us towards joy. Now, when you don't know what to do, or when you feel overwhelmed by the season, or you feel anything but joy, try giving thanks. The second one is that we can choose to obey. Now, this passage is on your screen. It's John 15:10-11. It says, or in this, Jesus said, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, when we often want joy to just appear out of nowhere, but Jesus said it comes from obedience. And like gratitude or exercise or anything else, obedience is a practice. It's a process of seeking to follow God's ways and then putting them into action. We don't always get them right. But the more we align ourselves with God's word and the more we understand his ways, then we start to choose actions that align with his words and with his wisdom. The more we open ourselves to experience the good fruit of those choices, the more we prepare ourselves to encounter and to receive his joy. And then the last one on this list is we can choose to abide. Now, John 15, the same chapter, it also tells us that Jesus said, just as he remains in his Father's love, we remain in his love. And our joy is complete. Now, this is not an immediate, quick satisfaction concept. It's the idea of continual love and relationship with Jesus that brings the gift of joy into our lives. Jesus uses the metaphor of a vine in John 15. He says it's describing a process of ongoing growth and nourishment that produces good fruit, right? Have you ever planted anything? It doesn't go from seed to fruit, right? There's a process of growth that has to happen there. The same is true for our relationship with him. Our joy is made complete by imitating Christ's love and obedience. And this season of Advent, my hope is that we would let it be a time of gratitude and obedience and abiding in his love as we anticipate the joy that comes in the person of Jesus this Christmas. So my question as we close today is, what is keeping you from experiencing joy this Advent season? What is it that's got you hung up? Do you feel like, I can't do this unless I get this out of the way? What is it that you can anticipate? Where can you anticipate joy this week? And will you do it? Will you make space to recognize joy in the midst of the chaos and the struggles? And will you make time to practice choosing joy through gratitude, through obedience, and through abiding? This is how we receive the gift of joy this Christmas. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your joy that came as a gift to the world. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that transforms us and that produces this joy. God, help us to receive that joy this week. Even though everything's not perfect and it never will be until we realize you face to face. We can't wait on things to be just like we planned them because it's never going to happen. You are in control. Help us to live in that freedom this week. Help us to anticipate joy no matter what's happening. Help us to recognize joy in the midst of our circumstances and help us to choose joy by practicing gratitude and obedience and abiding. God, we just thank you for this season and what it means for us and our salvation. God, we're so thankful that you bring us joy this Advent season. We just love you and we thank you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think we're going to finish off today by singing Joy to the World. So would you stand with us and